Welcome, Jets fans, to another edition of the Jet Stream. We're here with this week's review of the match against Sydney FC. But before we talk about that, I guess we should make note that Ferns isn't here again this week. He's off on his weekly Star Wars marathon. And Bodie couldn't join us either because he's actually started paddling his canoe. He set off from Newcastle Harbour this morning to get over to Wellington in time for the game against the Knicks. So happier paddling, Bodie. But I'm lucky enough to be joined by two esteemed gentlemen of the pod. Firstly, welcome back, Glenn.
Hello. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm well. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Good.
Good. Well, joining us today to talk about the defeat is Grant from the Behind, Phil the Hill Friday, podcast. How are you, mate?
Very good, Dave. Thanks for having us. It's my first time on the review. I've done a preview a couple of times, but this is going to be good, although sad.
Look, mate, to be honest, this is the better of the pods. we won't talk about that crew that do the preview. Oh. So before we get into talking about the game, let's start with an opening question. I do remember to do it on time this week, Glenn.
Yeah, I heard that little stitch up last week, I think.
Mate, that's just amateur hour, but that's nerves being in the presence of the likes of Ferns and Boats. But guys, the opening question, and we'll start with you, Grant. How do you like your eggs?
My eggs. I like my eggs Benedict. With salmon. So there we go. If you're just eggs only, they've got to be poached on toast with tomato sauce.
Poached on sauce with tomato sauce. Glenn?
Yeah, I'm going to go poached as well. I'm not a massive fan of scrambled. I know it's all the same, and it should be the same thing, just done different ways. But for some reason, yeah, poached wins every time for me.
Mate, I'm going to make the trifecta here, talking about, I guess, the night before Melbourne Cup when we were recording this. I'm going to say poached eggs as well. I actually make my own chili chutney.
Wow.
So I put a bit of that on top as well, and that's good. Actually, an argument in our house, and maybe you guys can expand on this further, this has the potential to be very much like Buttergate. Eggs, are they solely a breakfast food or can they be a dinner food as well?
No, it's like Weet-Bix. I can eat that at any time of the day.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can have them for lunch, yeah. Have them for morning tea, afternoon tea, dinner, late night snack. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, mate, that's excellent right there.
Boom. <tea.
laughs> That's enough dad jokes. We've probably just lost half of our listenership as they are. I can hear the groans going around Newcastle as we speak. So the Jets, they went down 2-0, two goals from Alex Brosk very early in the first half and Milos Ninkovic. And here are some highlights from the match.
Strong from Zullo, helped on its way by Ninkovic. Breaks for Brosk, gets away from Cowburn. Alex Brosk! Must score, and he does. Back in the side, and he rewards his coach with a goal.
Look at the burst of speed from Alex Brosk. So Zullo just cleans up in the contest. Poliak doesn't go with Alex Brosk. Calburn errs on the side of caution. Not an unreasonable decision, because a penalty would have loomed if he makes contact, and perhaps even a red card. And from that point, Alex Brosk is barely going to miss. A super player. In good goal scoring and match turning form in these early days of the new season.
Hesitation for Wilkinson. Breaks for Hull. Nordstrand, where's the support? It arrives late. What a butchered opportunity. Stephen Ugarkovic should have put his team back on level terms. You don't get many better chances than that.
Well, Nordstrand hasn't done much, but he caused some problems and Hull cuts it back nicely. Nordstrand calm, and that's totally and utterly butchered by a fine young player. I mean, you'd put your house on Ugarkovic from there. His form has been great, but when you consider the difficulty that a lot of clubs have with filling that fullback position.
One cleanly by O'Neill. We'll get back to that in a moment. Here's Holosko. He goes for goal. Plenty behind the shot from Holosko. Breaks here for Milos Ninkovic. And it's a calm finish of the highest quality from a player of the highest quality.
Milos Ninkovic treated the rebound off the Jack Duncan save the way that Jugarkovic should have finished in the first half. He didn't. Ninkovic did, and Sydney clear.
Okay, so before talking in detail, fellas, we're going to have a look at some of the key facts from the match. And some of these stats surprise me, and I'm interested to hear your take on it. The Jets had 49% of the possession to Sydney's 51, and I didn't quite think that it felt like that. Glenn, what did you think?
Yeah, I was also surprised when I looked at the stats after the match. But I think on reflection, the possession that we had was very deep within our own half. There was a lot of passing along the back line and not really getting any penetration into Sydney's half. So the amount of possession we might have had was similar, but it wasn't sort of, yeah, wasn't attacking or purposeful possession for mine.
And that's certainly reflected in the territory stats, which Sydney dominated, I guess, 58-42, according to Fox Sports. But very much like last week, Grant, the passing accuracy tended to be an issue. And does it surprise you that the Jets actually came out with 77% pass accuracy to Sydney's 83%?
It's a huge surprise. One thing about that possession, I was monitoring that through the game on Sunday, actually. And at half time, I think it was about 60-40. And then for another 20 minutes or so, it was still around that. It was only after that I noticed the possessions started to balance. Well, we started to get a bit more possession, which raised our average, I suppose, or a percentage rate. So that's a real surprise. I never checked it right at the end, but that is a real surprise. And the bigger surprise is our passing percentage, because obviously some of those, you know, flick kicks or pass backs might have been counted for sure, because I thought it would be a lot worse than that.
Sydney certainly started well, Glenn. And what were your thoughts, your overall impression on the match?
I mean, it's easy to say in hindsight, but even watching it live, we obviously sat well back, tried to soak up the pressure, and usually you would attempt to counter off that, and I think we missed the step. We weren't countering either. So we were just soaking up the pressure and not really doing anything with the possession that we had, and not breaking quickly enough or in the right manners. So it was almost... like I say, it's easy to say now. It was almost like we'd succumbed to the fact that we were going to be beaten. It was just a matter of limiting the damage.
Mm. Is that how you saw the match, Grant?
Look, I'll stand corrected, but I had a number of people talking to us through the game asking why are we running with a back five. And to look at it, when we first went out there, my first thoughts were, are we playing for a draw? And that was in... you know, the first 10 to 15, because it seriously, whether they're, I thought, well, maybe Hoffman's playing a wing-back role, you know, but then I looked over and on the left-hand side was Vizhuka. So I'm thinking, well, you know, he's not known for a wing-back type role. I seen the formation that was put out by the Jets themselves, and we had three up front. One of those on the right was Hoffy. And I'm thinking, well, okay, that makes more sense. But on the park, seriously, I thought we were playing for a draw. And talking a bit, as Glenn was saying, we sat back, and then when we started to make some moves, we just kept muck ass around with that ball and kept pushing around and then pass it to a Sydney player in the final movement.
I mean, it's kind of like the Jets – with the camouflage kit on, actually struggled to find each other or see where they were. And that's a joke that's been done to death. But I certainly noticed the change in formation as well. And I think you're right that we did set up with a 5-3-2 when we had when we were defending the midfield three of Jugarkovic, Poljak and Brown were very narrow as well. And there was very limited pressing from them, and it allowed a lot of space for the likes, for me, of Ryan Grant and Michael Zulo to essentially push down those wings and just bomb on and give Sydney the front foot. But in attack, did you notice in attack, Glenn, that we tended to change to more of a 4-4-2? Hoffman moved wider into that right wing position.
Yeah,
but yet we didn't have, and maybe Jugarkovic moved a bit left?
I did notice that. One thing I also noticed, as you touched on, Stephen Jugarkovic, was he was it seemed like he was given the instruction to push a lot further forward than he normally would when we had possession. Which obviously it bore out that it gave him that chance in the first half. But I think it also exposed us when Sydney eventually broke down in the attacks, which happened quite often. It also exposed us with only having the one screening midfielder in Poljak back there ready to try and scupper any attacks from Sydney. So, and on the Hoffman thing as well, yes, he was pushing forward, but he was sort of – it was almost between positions. You know, we're used to seeing him at the right back, and I think obviously that's where he feels more comfortable, and he sort of kept gravitating towards that and sort of stepping on Cowburn's toes a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. For sure. There was a couple of times they actually got him in each other's room.
And do you think that, I guess, that formation nullified where we've been effective in the last couple of weeks with the pace and width of our two wingers, Hull and Naboo, and obviously Naboo's injured this week? In setting up with the five at the back, we negated the option of Cowburn bombing on and overlapping the run of that winger or coming up and providing support because I guess he may have been instructed to stay and defend. And in so, we gave Sydney perhaps too much credit. We invited them on and showed them too much respect, particularly when we are at home, Grant?
Yeah, look, I thought Sydney's chasing game was... Every time we moved, they were running hard at us. If we had the ball, within no time, there was two or three Sydney players shutting us down, giving us no room whatsoever. So all of a sudden, we've seen these little short passes. Whenever we were able to make a movement, it went backwards, which I think was still much angst. I think a lot of people thought this was the Jets of old. Every time we got the ball, let's go back to the keeper. And... They were right on top of us. They just pushed all the way forward and give us we weren't able to unleash any balls because for a start I don't think we had anybody up the front to unleash it too. So we were so deep.
Glenn, it might be a bit too early to say, but this time last season I remember talking on this podcast about how the Jets had started really well during the season. We'd won three and lost one of our opening four matches. And I was saying that despite that, the other teams are starting, we're still trying to work us out at that point in time. And I guess that turned out to have an element of truth because we went on quite a lean spell. Do you think that that's something that we should be looking at and considering, given that Mark Jones is new to the coaching gig? Or is it too early, do you think, to say that?
I don't think it's too early to say that, but I also have some sympathy for the coaching staff because a lot of the changes that they have made, especially this week, have been forced upon them due to a litany of injuries to various positions across the park. So, yeah, I can sympathise with them. I understand what they were trying to do on the weekend. It didn't work, obviously, but they had the guts to try it, and so... I mean, if it had have worked, we would have been hailing them as geniuses and all sorts. But it didn't. They had the conviction to give it a go, and hopefully they've learnt some lessons from it.
I guess we'll move on to the first goal. The first goal is created from a poor clearance from Jack Duncan. Wayne Brown is out-muscled in the middle of the park from an aerial challenge, and I think that was from Michael Zulo who was running through, and then.
Which is a horrendous tackle.
Yeah, we'll get onto that in a minute. But the quick movement and almost no-look pass from Milos Ninkovic and Alex Brosk, just showed his strength and his guile and experience to get that front position ahead of Cowburn and managed to slot it away into the bottom corner across Jack Duncan. But, Grant, you've got some opinions clearly on that challenge with Wayne Brown. What were your thoughts?
Look, I watched the replay a couple of times, and even I don't know if it was Andy Harper made comment about it and said, basically it should have been a free kick, but it's in the back of the net. It's there now and been given. And if you have a look at it, Zulu's feet were about 3 foot off the air when he got who was it to? Wasn't it
Brown?
Brown. He took the ball off Brown, and just smashed him out of the road. There was no ball. He wasn't going for the ball. He took the player out. But in saying that, you know, it's in the back of the net and has been given. So we were, I think we're unfortunate. It was a good goal by Brosk. I won't bag him again on a podcast because maybe that was, maybe he was listening. I don't think so, but no, it was a good goal, well put away. It showed real experience to do that, and Duncan didn't have much to do with it, I suppose. So yeah, but yeah, look, definitely, if there's a couple of decisions there, I thought we were a bit hardly done by through the game, but that was definitely one that I thought could have been pulled up.
Glenn, do you see that any differently to Grant, or is it just a case of I think you mentioned before, the hunger and the drive and desire for Sydney to win that ball and get to it before any of the Jets?
I'm going to go along with what Grant said here. I haven't had the benefit of the replay, but watching it from the Southern Hill, I saw it. He's just clattered through the back of him from what I could see. And I guess going on from that, you could say, well, the referee set the tone there, and that sort of a challenge is fair game. But it didn't happen that way. It didn't seem like the Jets lads saw that and switched on and thought they could be a bit more physical than what they already were being. Sydney continued on that tack, and it paid dividends.
The referee was, I mean, it was only his second A-League match as an official, and he was quite, he didn't brandish a yellow card, I think, until about the 61st minute when Alex Bross got one. There was a period there where the Jets were getting a number of niggly fouls. Milos Ninkovic seemed to be quite a regular offender. Do you think the ref was too lenient in that regards, Glenn, or would you have pulled something up a bit earlier to I guess, take that out of the game? Because the Jets struggled to really even establish any flow.
Definitely, and that was obviously a ploy from Sydney, and they did well in that regard. While they bent the rules, but the referee's there to enforce them, and I thought, yes, he was quite lenient, but he should have been. If it all stands to reason, he should have been just as lenient on us, so we could sort of push the boundaries a little. And as I sort of said before, I don't think we did that, which is, you know, it's good. It's good that we don't want to go out and hurt people, but we have to play within the rules, and each referee is different. So once we figured this referee was a bit more lenient, maybe we could have stuck our foot in a bit harder here, there, and won a few of those 50-50s.
I guess we would have been looking to show a bit of that mongrel that we saw last week, Grant.
Yeah, and I think it was missing. It seemed to be, excuse me, there was, I don't know if Brown... Yeah, Brown's had, I thought, three very, very good games, but I wouldn't put the game he had on Sunday up there with him. I don't know whether it was just the pace and the physicality of Sydney or the movement or the changes that had been made, because up the front, I seen Hill was running off the running. He was the point man, basically. And, whether that combination's just not working yet, because that's the first time they've tried it. But I thought Brown was a little bit below his normal self. We had other opportunities, and I'm sure we'll talk about them, but there are other opportunities where, I've counted at least three where we could have got a goals and that. But and there's a couple I've written here where, in the particular minutes where we've, even... I don't know if you've seen it there within, we might talk about it later, but where Hoffman was in the first 12 minutes, so Hoffman was pushed over in a penalty box by Wilkinson. Did anybody else see that?
From the corner?
I saw Hoffy getting up and appealing, but I didn't see the specific incident.
Yeah. Again, on the replay, and I'm pretty pedantic on replaying him a few times, and he had Wilkinson come over the top, had his shirt and pushed him onto the ground. And again, you can hear the commentator talk about it. he got away with it.
Well, yeah, he did in the end. And I guess the Jets looked to be to struggle again to have the passes stick within the team. It's the second week in a row that has been the case. And gone is that movement and free-flowing attack of the first 2 weeks of the of the season. Is it simply down to personnel changes, Grant, or do you think that we're struggling maybe with the reintroduction of Poljak, or what do you think? Is this just a phase?
Well, my first thoughts on it is any attack comes from your backs, right? That's where it's built up. And, you know, we've lost Mullen, and I thought Lachlan Jackson had done an excellent job while he was there. And, yeah, so we've had such a variety of, such turnaround in the backs, and so therefore distribution from the backs has changed dramatically from what was our first couple of games. Then, obviously, I think if you watch previous games, if you look at we had Naboot running down that right-hand side, and if there was nothing on, if he didn't think he could pass it to anybody, he had a shot. Mm. So he put everybody, he put the opposition under pressure because he's having a shot, because chances are he might jag it. Now, what I've seen there on Sunday is every time we got caught out wide, we'd push it back, we'd play a pass, we'd push it back again and lose that momentum. You know, there's a couple of times there where I thought, this is, we're back in the bad old days where we're not going to shoot. We push that ball three passes too many before at least having a crack at the goals. And, you know, you'd even hear it in the crowd, people saying, just shoot. So, yeah, look, I think so. I think Naboot, we're missing him massively because he's got that strength, he's got the speed, and every time he's got the ball, he's drawing defenders and mids, and which is opening up gaps at the other side. So, yeah, I think that's where, you know, injuries are really starting to get us. Our deep bench is getting very shallow.
That's something that's a massive call to say on Naboot. For a player that a lot of fans complained about, lambasted for not showing any sort of for us not showing any sign of drive or any will to succeed by signing a player who had many had felt failed in the A-League. That's a massive compliment to him, Grant. Mm. Glenn, Sydney had their opportunities to extend their lead. I think there was a chance from Bobo, a missed header. Matt Yerman shot across and high over the Jets' goal. And Philip Holosko almost added a second almost immediately after Alex Brosk's goal bar for the heavy touch and the presence of the post. Do you think Sydney deserved a second, or were we... before we get on to the Ugarkovic shot, do you think we should have been down two goals at least by then?
I'm not sure whether we should have. We definitely could have, as you've raised with those other chances. I think we started to slowly work our way into the game a bit more. I think it would have been very disappointing to have conceded a second earlier than we did. But yeah, to say it would have been unjust, I don't think you could say that. Sydney played well enough to, and we allowed them to play well enough, to get the lead and hold on to it. So I don't think we would have deserved a second goal so early, but we also don't think we could have complained, too vehemently if it had happened.
And I think as the half wore on, certainly in the last 10 minutes before halftime, the Jets, created some opportunities, and it was right before halftime that we got our best chance of the match, in my opinion, where some good chasing by Nordstrand and support, ably supported by Andrew Hull. The boys managed to create a chance for Stevie UG, but he managed to push it wide. Different game, do you think, Grant, going in 1-1 at halftime?
Oh, massive. Look, you know, who knows what could have happened if you'd have put that ball away, because that would have taken the wind out of Sydney's sails. That they would have started to think about their, imagine Arnie would have said, look, we just keep doing what we're doing, but there's still those niggly thoughts in the back of the minds of the players. More importantly, our players are up. They'd be going into the dressing room pumped and thinking, we can do this, and their mindset would be totally different. But to miss the goal it goes the opposite way. Mm-hmm. And I think that that hurt us like, that hurt us so, a lot more than what I think, you know, just the goal, not having the goal. So, yeah. But to credit, I think we almost did the same to Sydney as what we did to Western Sydney there last week, because we were much better in the last, you know, 10, 15 than we were, than at the beginning of the game. So, yeah.
I must say, yeah, well, look, I've got to say that as the boys were walking off at halftime, there are a number of fans lining the sides of the tunnels, encouraging the boys, telling them to keep their heads up, yep. telling them to keep on going and not to give up. But, geez, Glenn, you'd back Jugarkovic to hit that
you would,
99 times out of 100.
You would, but I haven't seen the replay. I'll say that every time. So I'm only going off what I saw live. It was down the end of the pitch that I was standing. Yes, it's a chance. Yes, it should have been a goal, but I don't think it's as easy as a lot of people are making it out to be. There were a few bodies there. If he'd put it away, it would have been a really good goal. It was by no means, in my opinion, a tap-in. A player that we've seen in Jugarkovic, he'll be disappointed with himself. Of course he will, but I don't think it was a dolly at all. I think if it would have been a really well-taken goal had it gone in.
I've watched the replay a couple of times, and I'm actually of the opinion that if he gets it on target, it's actually blocked by the player coming across.
Yeah, I think that's why he's trying to put it to the right-hand side.
Yeah, so and Vukovic has gone the other way, so you've got that potential then of either skying it or having to beat the keeper. So fair points to you there, Glenn. And as the boys came out from half-time, no changes. Would you have made any changes at half-time, either of you?
No, I don't think so. I think that they still had plenty of energy left in their legs. Not at half-time. I thought the changes were made when needed to be made. So no, I think if Jonesy had done that, might have caused more damage psychologically, because that would taken a player off that's just gone through all of that wouldn't help the rest of the team as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, you talk about psychological damage, Grant and Glenn. That was struck by a cheap turnover by Andrew Hull. Again, a case of Sydney chasing the ball and nipping it off us and appearing more hungrier for the ball. And shot by, I think it was Holosko, was parried across the goal by Jack Duncan and fell in the middle of the box. Ninkovic, who put it away. And the game's just about over by then.
Yeah, you're right. And that I've seen people liken that to Jugarkovic, and you know that's how you do it, and those sort of comments made. But they weren't the same chance. Again, without the benefit of replay, I actually thought that Duncan might have held that, or at least done a little better than push it out into the center of the goal mouth. But I could be being unfair there. So yeah, it was disappointing. But I'll hark back to my previous statement as it was no less than what Sydney deserved on the balance of play.
Mm-hmm. About 70 minutes, we saw Wayne Brown substituted for Alexander Coco, who made his return from injury. Glenn, did you think Coco made a difference when he came on?
Yeah, I did. There's nothing wrong with a sprinkling of Coco. I thought he did well, actually. No, I was actually surprised.
Not as well as you did, mate.
Thanks. That just sort of came to me. Yeah. I was looking through the individual stats, and I was surprised that he had as low a passing percentage as he did. I thought he was quite effective. The stats don't bear that out, but he just added a point of difference. I felt when he came on that Nobby started to come in the game more as well, because he wasn't the only one trying to make something happen at the point. And I think that goes to say, I'm hoping that at some point this season we will play two up front.
You didn't think that we did for most of the game?
Oh, I think there was a lot of rotation there. I thought it was quite confusing, not only to watch but also for the players. the thing I noticed was Hull and Brown constantly switching, you know, swapping from inside out, etc. Obviously, that was a ploy to try and confuse Sydney. I think it confused our players more than anything. Yeah. And the play where we would normally expect Hull to be or Brown to be, either the other wasn't there yet or they were between runs. It was just very confusing. And I think it wasn't, it didn't have the desired effect on the opposition.
Grant, I thought that the introduction of Devante Clute for Morten Nordstrand was a turning point in the match, where which brought a bit more balance to the team. It moved Andrew Hull back out into the left, where we'd been missing that player out wide for most of the match. Vijica was getting forward, but not with the same level of intent as Hull had in the past couple of weeks. Do you think that upon reflection, Jones may have got the formation wrong, leaving the likes of Devante out and Coco, sorry, out?
I think he'll be pondering that, and I think he's gone in. I think he's thinking he's going with a structure that's he knows what Sydney's like. I don't know. I'd hate to think that Arnie's mind games may have worked a little on him, but he looked like he's gone in with very defensive structure, and it wasn't a normal team setup, and therefore even the players that he's picked. And, I think I've got to agree. I thought Clute had quite a good effect on the team and how he went forward when he came on. I didn't think Nobby had a bad game, with what we had up front, I thought that Clute made a good improvement on it.
Yeah, okay. And as has been the tale for 3 weeks out of the last four, we were forced to make a substitution through injury. Ben Kantorovsky went down, clutching his right knee, a knee that he's had a number of surgeries on over the past, Glenn. And the Herald's reporting that scans have now confirmed that Kantorovsky has torn the meniscus in his right knee. They're saying that he'll see a specialist this week, but he's expecting to miss at least two games. Johnny Katrumbas, who was a recent signing from Adelaide, got an unexpected call-up. How did you think that he did?
I thought he did really well when called upon. He looked safe and assured at the back. Obviously, he hasn't been with the team very long, but he obviously worked well with those around him. Vitsa and Bugard on either side of him. And I thought he gave a good account of himself. Just on Cantor as well, at the ground it didn't look good. You could tell it was a knee injury, and at first I feared the worst and thought it was ACL, but meniscus is no small injury either, and if it requires surgery, a couple of weeks would be, just rest and elevation, etc., but any surgery to repair that would be, you'd be looking at 8 weeks.
Yeah, look, I've got to admit that I actually thought I was up the complete opposite, and I was in the northern corner, hanging out with a mate who's listening. Mickey, how are you? but we're up near the cove, and we're at the complete opposite end. But, when he went down, and I could see him holding his knee, and I thought, this is an ACL. This is the least this is the problem area of the pitch. This is the position where we couldn't afford to sustain an injury. Grant, do you think that we're going to go out and panic buy? I mean, there's the likes of, say, Zach Anderson, who is a gippo, but is currently available, and the likes of John McCain, who's just returned from a couple of years over in Malaysia, I think he was. Yeah. Do you think we're going to go out and see some of these guys signed on a short-term injury waiver, or do you think Jones is going to stick with Katrumbas?
Look, there's some concern within the club, I think. No man's land, because you've got to get somebody for a 12-week contract. Now, remembering, and I hate to bring it up, but remembering we're still being working within a budget that's been set as a business budget. So the money that's out there, I'm not too sure if they want us, if they get in an injury replacement, you've got to get them from a minimum, is it a minimum of 12 weeks? But I know it's got to be 12 weeks. And okay. I think they're still waiting to see if Mullins, because, you know, he's back in 8 weeks. You know, there's a player there that maybe not needed for 4 weeks. And I think there's all this type of thing going through their head. Mm-hmm. I do believe they're already looking. And it's not as if they've not taken it all into consideration. This is before the Canter incident, so I would say they're starting to firm up that they are starting to look for an injury replacement because there's too much going on. You can't take the risk, not with your season still so young and fresh. Yeah, when we think about it, we've lost one game out of four, so you know it's not as if we're currently sitting in fifth position. Depending on the results of the victory Wellington game. So, yeah, but from my point of view, from what I can see, I think they'd be seriously starting to look right now. So, yeah, and I would go with,
McCain.
McCain, yeah, he would be my personal choice.
Okay, so we are recording this while the Melbourne Victory and Wellington Phoenix game is on down in Melbourne, and it's currently nil all. And that's something that I'm sure we're going to touch on, Wellington's travel back across the Dutch, as we're going to touch on Thursday on our record. Glenn, is it as bad as it seems? I mean, I'm going to put a couple of points. I'll start with this point. In our history, we're currently sitting on 5 points in fifth position, as Grant said. Only six seasons before have we had more points, and five seasons we've had less points at the same point in time. How are you seeing this so far? Are we getting ourselves worked up over one performance? Or should we take, a dose of realism and look at where we are in terms of our performances and our position on the table so far this season?
Yeah, I think the result's got to be taken with a grain of salt. As far as, we've all said, the changes have been forced by injury and otherwise. If we'd had, a couple of those players unavailable, if they'd been available for the weekend, I think you might have seen a different result, or at least a different manner of playing. And I think that's the thing that people, myself included, are raising an eyebrow about, not quite concerned just yet, but just the manner in which we played, especially at home. Yes, we only lost 2-0, but it's sort of like we set the stall out to lose by the least amount, or maybe jag a draw. And as you guys both well know, what the Novocastrian crowd like to see and what we had seen in the previous 3 weeks was a team with belief and just having a go and come what may. So I wouldn't say that this result is a reflection on the season as a whole. I'm hoping it's just an outlier and we start playing to our strengths, making changes towards opposition as we see fit, but hopefully not quite as wholesale as we saw on the weekend.
And Grant, before we finish up this podcast for this week, expanding on what Glenn said, do you think it's a good thing that the Novocastrian faithful, that the Jets fans are actually disappointed, they're a bit up in arms about this defeat, it's a sign that we maybe believe that the team can achieve better than what they delivered on the weekend, and that we think that we want our team to win, we want them to be successful?
Look, the fans have got expectations. They can see good things, and I think there was just a bit of frustration. Within the crowd and around me in Bay 54, Bay 54, there was you could hear a bit of frustration coming in when, I don't know if there was panic set in with the guys, but there was some, I think Hull was guilty of a few of these flick passes that went to nowhere, man, and nowhere. And, if we got the ball, we kept pushing it back, only to lose it again in the mids. So there was just that frustration because we've got some very good players. I thought Coco made a very good impact when he came on. I think he steadied that ship up and really put some pressure on up the front. I think our backs, I thought Bugard had a captain's knock, and he's been, you know, even his attitude on the field, you know, touching wood, he guys, he hasn't had a red card yet. We're four games in. So, yeah, look, I think we're still expecting things. I think we write this one off. I think maybe there's been a tactical error that was forced upon us. We'll see how, and I'm not going to try and pronounce Johnny's name, but I'm going to call him Johnny K from now on.
Petrumbis.
So Johnny K, I thought, was a real surprise, a pleasant surprise. So maybe we're not going to be impacted as much as we thought. So, yeah, look, I think there's still plenty of good games in this yet, that's for sure. We're not, we haven't even seen the chest yet. So, you know.
And let's not forget that we're only the fourth team to not trouble the scorers. Yes. For Sydney. So
yeah, they're hot. They're very good at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
Very, very hot. So guys, we'll wrap it up there. I will add this one thing in that. I guess looking at our results so far, Brisbane jumped above us last week. Yesterday. With a good win over Perth, but
yeah,
Sydney, yes, they are above us. Sydney are above us. They are always a bogey team for us. Not that that's any reason to accept that we should have lost. However, we've beaten or haven't lost to the teams that are below us in Adelaide. If Adelaide are currently down the bottom, we should have expected to have at least not lost to them. We had a draw. We could have had a win. We've beaten Brisbane, though they are above us, and Western Sydney we came back to have a draw with as well. So looking at that, I guess it's disappointing to lose, but we've now got to look to next week and say Wellington, they're down the bottom of the table. They're yet to score a goal, unless they currently have in the couple of minutes that we've been talking. Nope, they're still nil all. and it comes out at the end of the season. As long as we make the finals, we've got to make the finals. We need to keep on beating the teams that are below us. So we'll wrap it up there. Glenn, before we go, we'll get from you your man of the match.
My man of the match was Bogard. I thought he was... Yeah, it would have been a whole lot worse if not for his leadership and cool head at the back. I thought he marshalled the troops quite well, as he has done all season so far. So yeah, he was my standout. No, it was nobody really close to picking the man of the match up besides him for me.
Grant, who was your man of the match?
Yeah, look, I thought the same. I thought Bogues was definitely. For everything that Glenn just said. And one thing I'd just like to add, this is in regards to Sydney. There was, I know teams sort of do these things and, you know, hold up play and a few other issues and that, but I just thought I'd just mention that I thought that Sydney's sportsmanship was a lot like Arnie's personality. So I'll let you ponder on that for a while. But, yeah, Boogs was my man of the match.
I'm going to go with Andrew Hull. It's probably a controversial choice, but I was watching him in that first half, and he was after everything. He was a player that was drawing fouls, giving us the set piece opportunities to possibly draw level. I thought his set piece delivery was very good again, and he was accused last week of perhaps not performing to a higher level or dropping his shoulders and. Not putting in for the team, but you certainly couldn't say that, in my opinion, about him this week. I thought he ran for everything, he chased for everything, almost like he had a point to prove to a certain manager that was on the bench of the opposition team as well. Yeah. So, guys, we'll wrap that up there, unless there's anything else you want to say.
Melbourne Victory have just scored. Berisha from the penalty spot, apparently. So.
Geez, we need to call a game.
We need a draw. I'll pick the one all draw for this game because one all draw would suit us.
I think that would be a great result for us as well. Yeah. It certainly would. And look, hey, here's an idea. There's some people within the club that listen to us. Happy for you to put us in a box. We'll sit there. We'll watch the game. We'll call it like the Bradford banter. We'll sit there and we'll do it. A special edition of the Jetstream. Just putting it out there. You know how to get in touch with us. But Glenn, your Twitter. People can find you on Twitter.
Yes,
where can they find you?
They sure can. It's at Suffragette City. No more apt username than that this week. So, yeah, hit me up.
Grant?
It's at Grant, BLK.
And people can find me at Jetapool on Twitter as well. And if you enjoy the podcast and you want to talk to us or give us some feedback or some suggestions, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/JetstreamNewey, on Twitter at JetstreamNewey, or you can email the podcast at podcast@newcastlefootball.net. Also encourage people to jump onto iTunes and give us a rating. It helps more people like us as Jets fans to find the podcast and listen to us dribble on for an hour, and why should we suffer alone?
Very good.
Guys, thank you very much for joining us.
No worries.
And
good fun.
That's a wrap. Go the Jets.
2-0 victory now, another penalty.
Oh, another penalty.
Another Berisha penalty 2 minutes later. So,
wow.
What's Wellington doing? I've got to get out there and watch this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch it too. Just be sitting there. I reckon, what's his name? Ernie Merrick's there going to be saying, and this is the hardest part of every coach.
Yep.
Finkler,
your cut.
Bonavazia, your cut. Krishna, your cut.
Oh, dear.
Leah, Parkhouse, Fox, and Durante, you're all cut too.
Yep, you're gone. Oh, I'm down. Thank you, man.
Reality check tonight. Did you get
that
first 20 minutes?
I think we were just, for whatever reason, at the start of the first few rounds, we've been nervous of the first 10-15 minutes for some reason.
And then, I guess, one across scores is you chase the game and it makes life difficult.
A little bit, but if you look at, you know, we had a glorious opportunity at half time. We score that. It was 99 times out of 100, Stevie scores that, and if we score that, yeah, we come in at 1-1 and everything's fine. So we're hardly out of the game or chasing the game. We just knew we didn't need to concede goals, and we didn't. And so if we'd gone in 1-1 at half time, different game.
Obviously, yeah, mate, but I mean, then they scored.
Yeah, the second goal made it. That was difficult and that was disappointing. You know, it's wrong end of a couple of fouls, so to speak, and turned it over in dangerous areas, and we paid a price for that.
Had a nervous start. Is that a concern for you, Mike?
Oh, a little bit. It'd be nice to start with confidence, but for whatever reason, that's not the case at the moment. But young team, yeah, changing personnel week to week. It's not difficult to gel together when we've had a few injuries and we've had to change. We haven't played the same team each week. As in, which bit? It's just being confident. It's been out and having a swagger and being confident and confident in your own ability.
Alex Ross, he seems to score for fun against Newcastle. What's he bring that's so difficult to contain?
He's just he's a quality player, and he has got that X factor that he brings something special at any given time, and he's difficult to mark. And I thought we cope with him quite well today, apart from the obvious.
Were you expecting him to play, mate? I think Danny was saying that. Quite happy with him off the bench. And
he's one of the best players in the country. He's one of the best tens in the country, so he's always going to play a considerable amount of game time.
You don't think
he
can take a trip with defenders at the moment?
No, we've had a bad run of injuries through that, so hopefully that gets better. But on the positive side, young Johnny come on and did a good job, so just another player will get an opportunity.
What's the early, I know it's early, but wasn't any scanners and that sort of thing, but what's the early?
No, it doesn't look too bad. He's had a bit of trouble with his meniscus. It popped back in or whatever, and he feels fine.
Okay, so there's a chance he might be off next
week. Yeah, 100%.
It must be a relief given his history with knee injury as well.
Yeah. You always hope it's not something bad, and hopefully it's just something very minor, and he'd be right to play again.
Where you at in terms of looking for the replacements for either Lockie or for...
Always looking, but it's not a case of just replacing someone with anybody. We need to make sure it's the right fit for the team, and at this point we haven't found the right person, and it looks like Dan Mullen will be back sooner rather than later, so he's a good hurler. Hopefully about, he's probably only sort of a month away, 4 to 6 weeks away now.
What does Johnny bring to the team, young Johnny, that came on?
Okay, so he's composed, he's a good athlete, he reads the game well, and we started to play out from the back, and I thought we were dangerous in the last 10 or 15 and very unlucky not to score in that period. Yeah, 100%. It's competition. Someone comes on and does a good job, it always makes it interesting.
Thanks for your time.
No problem.